Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
This Day in History class is a production of iHeartRadio.
Hello and welcome to This Day in History class, a show that pays tribute to people of the past by telling their stories today. I'm Gabe Lousier, and today we're looking at a lesser-known chapter from America's civil rights movement, the day when a white postal worker was killed while trying to deliver a letter in support of racial justice. The day was April 23rd. 1963. White civil rights activist William Moore was shot to death at a highway rest stop in Alabama. He was in the midst of a one-man march to Jackson, Mississippi, to urge that state's governor, Ross Barnett, to support integration. Unfortunately, Moore's efforts drew the wrong kind of attention in the Jim Crow Deep South, and on the third day of his journey, he was gunned down in cold blood. William Lewis Moore was born on April 28, 1927, in Binghamton, New York. After the death of his parents when he was just 2 years old, Moore went to live with his grandparents in Russell, Mississippi. He later joined the U.S. Marines, and after suffering a mental breakdown in the early 1950s, he started a newsletter to help combat the stigma surrounding mental illness and PTSD. He eventually returned to New York and began staging lone protests in support of civil rights. He also married a woman named Mary and became the stepfather to her three children. In the early 1960s, Moore moved to an apartment in Baltimore so that he could take a more active role in the civil rights movement. He got a job as a postal worker, became a member of the Congress of Racial Equality, and started taking part in local demonstration to end segregation. In March of 1963, for example, he was the only white person arrested during a protest to integrate the Northwood Theater in Baltimore. Shortly after, Moore decided to resume his lone protest activities by walking from Baltimore to Annapolis, Maryland. Shortly after, Moore decided to resume his lone protest activities by walking from Baltimore to Annapolis while carrying signs promoting racial equality. His second march took him from Baltimore to the White House, where he tried and failed to deliver a letter to President John F. Kennedy, imploring him to push harder for integration. For his third march, which would also sadly be his last, Moore planned something even more ambitious. Cashing in the vacation days he'd saved up at the post office, he planned to walk approximately 400 miles from Chattanooga, Tennessee, to Jackson, Mississippi. Once again, his goal was to hand-deliver a letter in support of integration. This time, though, the intended recipient was Mississippi Governor Ross Barnett, a Southern Democrat and a staunch segregationist. In his letter, Moore warned the governor, saying, quote, "Do not go down in infamy as one who fought the democracy for all which you have not the power to prevent. Be gracious. Give more than is immediately demanded of you." Tragically, the letter would never reach its destination. On April 21, 1963, Moore arrived by bus in Chattanooga and set out on his fateful journey south. Walking barefoot most of the time, he pushed his belongings in a postal cart and wore a sandwich board sign emblazoned with protest slogans. On one side, it said, "End segregation in America. Black or white, eat at Joe's." And on the other side, "Equal rights for all. Mississippi or bust." Moore's peculiar one-man march attracted the attention of residents and local media in every town he passed through. Most he encountered were supportive and friendly, but as Moore approached the Alabama state line, people began to express concerns for his well-being. The state had a reputation for its intense segregation and violent response to attempts to combat racism. In fact, Martin Luther King Jr. had written his letter from the Birmingham jail just 1 week before Moore's arrival. Nonetheless, he chose to continue his route as planned, and on the morning of April 23rd, he found himself in the tiny town of Colburn, Alabama, right along Route 11. According to notes in his journal, Moore stopped at a small grocery store and had a brief conversation with the owner, Floyd Simpson, and with a few of his customers. "Invited to chat with a few men who had heard about my walk on TV," Moore wrote. "They didn't think I'd finish my walk alive. They didn't think people believed I really stood for the things I do." He continued walking down the highway that afternoon, and after about 30 miles, Simpson and another man pulled up alongside him. Once again, Moore noted the incident in his journal, writing, quote, "A couple of men who had talked to me before drove up and questioned my religious and political beliefs. 'Now I know what you are,' one of the men said, and one was sure I'd be killed for my beliefs." A few hours later, the Etowah County Sheriff's deputy stopped Moore on the road and spent 30 minutes trying to convince him to take shelter for the night. The deputy warned that his life may be in danger, but Moore was determined to finish what he'd started. Later that evening, a local radio station reporter named Charlie Hicks also urged Moore to get off the road. Someone had called into the station that night with a tip about Moore's whereabouts, and after interviewing him on the side of the highway, Hicks offered to drive the protester to a hotel where he'd be safe. But once again, Moore refused. Less than 1 hour later, a passing motorist named Willis Elrod pulled over at a rest stop about 4 miles south of the county line. On his way to the restroom, he discovered the body of William Moore lying on the edge of the road by some picnic tables. The activist had been shot in the head and throat at close range with a .22 caliber rifle, a weapon which was later traced to none other than Floyd Simpson. The suspected killer was arrested 4 days later after several witnesses confirmed seeing a car that looked like his near the spot where Moore was shot. Additional evidence included Moore's journal entries, which prove the men knew each other, as well as Simpson's known ties to the Ku Klux Klan. Investigators proved that the shells recovered from the murder scene and the bullets from Moore's body matched the rounds fired from Simpson's rifle. However, that still wasn't enough to convince a grand jury, and on September 13, 1963, they determined there was insufficient evidence to indict Floyd Simpson for murder. In the wake of Moore's death, activists from the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee and from the Congress of Racial Equality tried to complete his march using the same route. They were subsequently beaten and jailed by Alabama state troopers, leaving Moore's letter undelivered for the next 45 years. Finally, in 2008, two admirers of Moore's activism decided to finish the postman's last delivery. Ellen Johnson and Ken Lukinen completed his march to Jackson, Mississippi. But when they attempted to deliver a copy of Moore's letter to the then governor, Haley Barbour, they were turned away. Around the same time, the FBI reopened the Moore investigation as part of its cold case initiative to review unsolved murders committed during the civil rights era. 4 years later, the report concluded that the most probable subject involved in the murder was indeed Floyd Simpson. But because he had died in 1998, the case was closed again, this time for good. Justice was never served for the murder of William Moore, but his death as a white activist engaged in the fight for black civil rights helped promote solidarity within the movement. His passing was marked by President John F. Kennedy, and 1 year later, the cause he gave his life for bore fruit with the passage of the landmark Civil Rights Act. I'm Gabe Lousier, and hopefully, you now know a little more about history today than you did yesterday. If you'd like to keep up with the show, you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at TDIHCShow. And if you have any comments or suggestions, feel free to send them my way by writing to thisday@iheartmedia.com. Thanks to Casby Bias for producing the show, and thanks to you for listening. I'll see you back here again tomorrow for another day in history class.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. That's right.